Happily, Mameha was very resourceful and did manage to find engagements from time to time that were safe for me to attend. Hatsumomo may have closed off Gion from me, but she couldn't close off the entire world beyond it. When Mameha left Gion for an engagement, she often invited me along. I went on a day trip by train to Kobe, where Mameha cut the ribbon for a new factory. On another occasion, I joined her to accompany the former president of Nippon Telephone and Telegraph on a tour of Kyoto by limousine. This tour made quite an impression on me, for it was my first time seeing the vast city of Kyoto that lay beyond the bounds of our little Gion, not to mention my first time riding in a car. I'd never really understood how desperately some people lived during these years, until we drove along the river south of the city and saw dirty women nursing their babies under the trees along the railroad tracks and men squatting in tattered straw sandals among the weeds. I won't pretend poor people never came to Gion, but we rarely saw anyone like these starving peasants too poor even to bathe. I could never have imagined that I, a slave terrorized by Hatsumomo's wickedness, had lived a relatively fortunate life through the Great Depression. But that day, I realized it was true. Late one morning, I returned from the school to find a note telling me to bring my makeup and brush to Mameha's apartment. When I arrived, Mr. Ichoda, who was a dresser just like Mr. Beku, was in the back room tying Mameha's obi before a full-length mirror. "Hurry up and put on your makeup," Mameha said to me. "I've laid a kimono out for you in the other room." Mameha's apartment was enormous by the standards of Gion. In addition to her main room, which measured 6 tatami mats in area, she had 2 other small rooms, a dressing area that doubled as a maid's room, and a room in which she slept. There, in her bedroom, was a freshly made-up futon with a complete kimono ensemble on top of it that her maid had laid out for me. I was puzzled by the futon. The sheets certainly weren't the ones Mameha had slept in the night before, for they were as smooth as fresh snow. I wondered about it while changing into the cotton dressing robe I'd brought. When I went to begin applying my makeup, Mameha told me why she had summoned me. "The Baron is back in town," she said. "He'll be coming here for lunch. I want him to meet you." I haven't had occasion to mention the Baron, but Mameha was referring to Baron Matsunaga Tsuneyoshi, her Dana. We don't have barons and counts in Japan any longer, but we did before World War II, and Baron Matsunaga was certainly among the wealthiest. His family controlled one of Japan's large banks and was very influential in finance. Originally, his older brother had inherited the title of Baron, but he had been assassinated while serving as finance minister in the cabinet of Prime Minister Inukai. Mameha's Dana, already in his 30s at that time, had not only inherited the title of Baron, but all of his brother's holdings, including a grand estate in Kyoto, not too far from Gion.